Silver mist floats across a white lighted sky. The moon is so full, and your mind is full of curiosity about something spotted earlier today. Too many people around, and the staff would stop you from going back there. The library building on campus is fairly popular. The new wing contains multiple computer labs, a huge reference catalog, and the stacks of periodicals and journals. Fiction section upstairs, and a bookstore in the same building. It is open to the public as well as students. On that second floor, earlier on, you saw something. Where two walls meet, the corner of the library closest to the main concourse of the university. A hallway going diagonally off into the corner where those walls meet. You looked down it, into an inky darkness where even the overhead lights had no purchase. Thump! Something fell nearby. You were startled, taking your eyes off the hallway. Behind you, a book lay on the floor. A thick volume with a cover title in flowing script. Must not have been put back all the way. Turning back, the walls meet. No hallway branching from the corner. Wouldn't make sense anyway. That hallway would have to be hovering over a well-walked thoroughfare, leading out into space. No hallway. Turning around, intending to restock the book onto the shelf and save the librarian the trouble. No book either. Staring into the corner evokes some strange wavering. You could probably still pass through. Into where, though? That was when a librarian came upstairs, having heard the thump, to find you staring into space. She asked if she could help you, and you shook your head and headed off with tail between your legs. It nagged at you. You're back. What is down that hallway? What could you find? So on a night under a silvery full moon, when no one will be in the library, you stand bolstering your nerve, ready to head inside. The light kisses your skin, and the whole scene is gentle. You feel warmth rising in your chest, your belly, floating, buoyed up and ready. The steady reality of the moment brings you down to earth. Whatever you find, whatever you thought you saw, it will be no issue. But you need to know. Anyone would need to know. Drinking in the cool night air, steadying your nerves. Every deep breath steadies your connection to the reality of this place, the truth of the world outside, under a full, all-revealing, all-seeing moon. What is hidden must be revealed. Where that thought came from, you don't quite know. But you needn't. Now is a time for action. Most people have left. 1 hour until the library proper is closed. You tread up the steps. A light dusting of snow blows across them. Unusual for it to be sticking around. Your footsteps leave a short trail up one, and then another, and a third step. Some of it blows onto your legs and sticks to your feet, making your tread heavy and slow. Slow and slowing. But you find the door. It too feels a heavy, weighty, significant thing, drawing your eyes, fixated and held, pinned to it for a little while. You pull it open. Warm air from inside washes over you, pushing away any exterior chill. Peaceful and comfortable, warm and cloying, the kind of library you could fall asleep in if you were sitting at your desk trying to study. Instead, you walk as you did before, through the posts that detect books which have not been properly demagnetized, past the soothing sitting area near the entrance, past the periodicals and magazines, computer labs with a few students working on last-minute reports, up the stairs, a short flight to the next floor, one and another, two, a third, treading, legs still heavy through the snow which grabbed at you at first, is now long gone. The staircase lets you hook out the huge glass window which makes up one wall of the library. Snow is gathering, heaped against it, falling from the sky and melting on the warmth of the panes in little trickles of liquid. You stop at the landing. There are more than 3 steps behind you, but you only remember 3. When you look out on that white world awash in silver light, you remember none at all. Nor do you need to retain such things. This experience, moment, progress, are all self-contained. You contain the memories within yourself and progress along them. Whispering at the edges of hearing, these words flowing from the surrounding books. This will be a self-contained evening where only thought of pleasure and retention of knowledge remains with you. The whispering of your mind fading away, as it might into any adventure, any book, any fantasy. You walk toward the rear landing, the place where bookstock carts wait to be used and pulled out, the place where only staff normally goes. But there is one drowsy worker on the front desk, and she isn't going to follow you up here when the cash register is down there for late fines and print payments. There is indeed still a hallway there. The hallway is diagonal. You look into the corner of the back wall on this floor, and there is a hallway which is diagonal out heading into the corner, deeper into that corner. The hallway should be suspended over the courtyard, given its angle. You can see a window right next to it. You cautiously approach the window and look left. No hallway over empty space, as you can see all the way down the hill to the main quad. But when you turn from the window, there is a longer hallway with a few fluorescent lights. So long that it goes out of sight, though. No lights further down. Step after creaking step, you are already drawn in. You were destined to walk this way since before you passed into the warmth of the library. Step one, step two, step three. The lights are already gone, replaced by old-style safety lanterns with capsules of water around them so that even if they fell or were knocked down, they would not start a fire. These illuminate older wooden planks, unvarnished but well scrubbed and swept. The lanterns illuminate the end of this hallway, so there was indeed an end. A door there, wood, plain wood, unmarked. It looks just like the front door, except it lacks the glass window. You reach out to knock. The door is a book. Words down the lintel, words on the frame, words on the handle. The whole thing is made of paper. The door is a tome. The door is a compendium. The door is a biography. Yours. You stare right into it. Your eyes glaze, and the simple joy of reading, coupled with the awareness of your own sleeping muscles growing more slack by the moment. Page after page, word after word. The word is a door. Each word is a door. This door is one more, and you will go through. Some truth is on the other side, but whether you will find it is not up to you. Your journey from here on out is in someone else's hands, already set in motion and already predetermined. You are fated to hear words and experiences which will become as real as the world inside any good book. Hand on the door, mind in the story, body relaxed. The peaceful warmth from outside of this hall is even greater here. This is one experience, and you know you might stumble into this trap again. You try to walk backward, to pull your legs away. Consider your situation. Decide to remain. Decide to turn the handle. Push open the door, and walk into the world, the moon, the truth. Beyond. The door slides open, from this to another place. Silver light is there as well. The light from outside on the snow is now inside. Inside your head, cast onto your eyes, cast out from the darkened room beyond the door. Light, stars on the ceiling. Stars and moonlight flowing from a cauldron as wide across as you are tall. A huge one full of silver water. A woman standing on the other side of it. The door, which is a book, closes behind you the moment you step inside. Why did you step inside? You were only going to peek. Your hand on the door. You turn and see. The walls are papered with pages. Papered with pages covered in scrolls, sentences, stories, words, and worlds. In front of you, the woman begins walking around the cauldron. Pointed ears, a ruff of fur, glinting black eyes. A fox woman. One tome in her hand. I thought I saw you up here earlier, she grumbles out. You scrabble your hand uselessly at the handleless space on this side of the door. Can't even find the seam. The words on the wall are textured, raised. You could read by massaging them with your hand. This is not the time to think about that, but your hands both stay on the wall, pressing the paper, feeling unique texture. She comes closer, rounded the cauldron now and set down her book, and you try to tug your hands away. Stuck, unmoving, stuck. And the texture is so pleasant that you sometimes forget to even tug. Your butt, too. stuck to the wall like a fly in honey. You attempt to pull away and get pulled right back, slapped against the wall. The fox woman is in front of you. White blouse, black skirt, little glasses perched on her long nose. Her teeth showing in not so much a grin as a grimace. Closer. One of her paws slaps down, gripping each of your shoulders. You have come along at just the right time to assist me. The door creaks open, but your contact with it breaks as it swings a little too quickly, a little too wide, away from your hand. Beyond is a room of pure silver light. The walls radiate it. The air sings with it. Your body feels a sudden wave of heat higher than the air-conditioned confines of the library would normally allow. You are confronted by this wall of heat, and it obfuscates your view to the room within. Too much heat inside your brain and between your legs. Dripping liquid lust oozes out of you, oozes down your inner thighs. Dripping heat, merely breathing the air, which is filled with some incense or smoke, makes your shoulders slump. You lean against the wall just inside the door for support. Attempting to think your way past the dripping heat is too much effort, but there is another way to see through it. A way to get your lazy eyes and dilated pupils, which have already been drugged on the rarefied atmosphere of this mystical space, to get them to focus. You lean into the heat. Let it fill your body. Your inner thighs sweat. Your lips part for your tongue to droop out. Your fur stands on end. Your pussy begins to drip. Your legs stand slightly apart, and you lean into the beautiful heat of the moment. Hot in your belly, itchy inside your body in the best, most tantalizing way. Then, slowly, a scene comes into view. The room contains a woman. She is tall and wearing glasses that reflect silver light. This silver light comes from a large iron cauldron full of what appears to be molten light in purest form. And it is making your mind feel strange, stretched, slow, and happy. Yes, happy. You have discovered the answer to your riddle. Your curiosity has been rewarded. And now this beautiful specimen is before you. Specimen, is that the right word? Beautiful, certainly. Massive breasts, wide hips. She is curvy in every respect. Her pointed muzzle, silver cheek fur, bright eyes behind wide glasses. She is wearing comfortable slacks and a button-down long-sleeve blouse. She kicks off a pair of low heels when you enter and focuses her gaze on you. Something of the light from the cauldron has crept over into her eyes, and the silver assails you from more directions. That color, hue, light source seems to ooze into your brain and take away everything except your urge to study her more. Drawn in, You try experimentally to back up down the hallway. You see her back up one step at the same time you do this. Strange. But then she takes two steps forward, and so do you. Your legs bring you closer, moving at the same moment she does. Your curiosity grows so powerfully that it is like a physical force within you. You need to know all about her. You wonder what she looks like under those clothes, for example. Your pussy drips more. You let out a little groan. So does she. The exact same length. One of her elegant paws rises to cover the fox woman's mouth, embarrassed by a sound she didn't intend to let out. She raises her right paw to wave at you. You feel something, an urge to raise your own, to raise your right arm, and you do. You wave back, mimicking her motion. "Excellent," is all she says. Then the fox begins taking off her clothes. Is she responding to the thought you had before? No, it seems this is an idea all her own. Your hands move and you begin stripping down as well. Even though you are wearing different articles of clothing, your hands move to undo yours, as hers do hers. Not exact copies of the motion, but copies of the intention. You see the blouse fall away from her chest, showing massive furred breasts with pointy black nipples puffed up in the air of the room. In this heat, they are not pointed from cold, obviously. It must be arousal. Her pants are undone and allowed to fall to the floor. She steps out of them with a sachet of her hips that makes her long tail sway behind her. Raised in the air, you notice. Your own clothes have also been unceremoniously stripped off, leaving you exposed by your own hand. Whatever strange mental link formed between you and this sexy fox when you entered, it seems you no longer have full control over it. While she, on the other paw, does. She moves closer, and you walk to meet her. The fur around her pussy is matted with sexual lubricant, and her breasts jiggle alluringly on approach. She reaches out to brush a paw across your chest, and you are rewarded with the ability to touch one of her breasts. A glorious, bouncy, slightly giving feel. She is so warm. The air is warm. You are warm. She is hot. You are horny. These thoughts pass through your mind, and you see her blush and look away, forcing you to look away from her. But she still touches your chest, and you hers. Managing to look back over one shoulder shows only a wall, but a wall covered in pages, papers, words. All the walls of this chamber, where you can see them beyond the silver glare, are blank and empty of any exit. There are pages in this sanctuary, and that is the way you like it. Or maybe it is the way she likes it. Those lines blur very intensely when you fail to focus. Unless you focus in a deep, particular, and wearying way, you find thoughts slipping away and your self-control merging with hers. Now that she is naked and standing right next to you, her hand massages your chest firmly, which lets you form the same intent. The intent to massage and squeeze her breast. It feels supple to the touch. Your fingers sink in. You rub in big, powerful motions, and she quivers enjoyably in response. To your disappointment, the fox removes her paw from your chest, and you have to remove your touch from her massive breast. She begins to speak, and you feel as if you know what she is going to say before it is fully announced. I like what I see. She reaches out, trailing one finger across your dripping pussy. The slit is full of cloudy juices by now, with how hot and horny that silver light and this seductive woman is making you. You get to reach out and touch her pussy as well, which is similarly drenched. It is a strange feeling, knowing you are only able to decide to do whatever she does to you. Your actions are limited to those she has already chosen to perform. You finger her wet pussy and her thighs shake. Your body echoes with the same shaky movement when she finds your clit and pinches it. This means you get to do the same to her. Back and forth, your mutual stimulation, moaning a groaning symphony of lust. I have one as well, as you can feel. Her voice is husky with lust. But I know the limits of my sex, the way I feel, and where I will come most efficiently. I do not know such things about you. I do not know your limitations. I do not know how much you can take. I would like to find out. Your arms fall by your sides suddenly. You are no longer groping her body, but she seems determined to touch yours, rubbing and touching. The part of the spell which allowed you to move has ended, but you are still connected to her. You sense satisfaction. You lick your lips amid the pulse of masturbation she is delivering. She likes this. You like this. You need this. Unable to move, the arousal which was previously a banked flame is now a flare of control. I will touch myself. You will watch. You will feel. She stops touching your pussy, which then drips weak droplets of needy lubrication onto the wooden floor below. Her hands move to her own breasts and slit. The fox woman rubs her clit, and you feel your own clit buzz with the same movements. Slow, delicate strokes, but enough to make you grunt in time with her most squeezing passes. You feel a flare of tingly pleasure in your chest as well, where she is massaging her breasts. Good feelings, all the more powerful because they come up from inside of you rather than from an outside caress. You are unable to deflect what comes from within. You just have to live through it, bear it, try to keep it under control. You will feel everything, she says. She is reaching for a low wooden table, which is there with you in the room. You failed to spot it before because of the glowing silver cauldron of mind-altering liquid giving off its vapors. She picks up a long and thick object, a dildo, a sex toy with a little twist knob at the base. It is dark black and very smooth. Its irregular shape has a curve for hitting one's G-spot, you assume. The clinical analysis might come from her mind being connected to yours, but you know one thing. You will not be able to resist the sensations from a high-end toy like that. She lowers herself to the floor, and you slump down as well, sitting on a cushion next to the wall. She has one of her own. The fox spreads her furry legs, showing you her wet slit with its bare lips in a darker color than the rest of her skin. They are puffy with arousal, and her clitoris pokes out of its hood already. Ragged breaths come in staccato streaks from her open muzzle, interspersed with periods of held and bated breath. She is a little bit too into her experiment, but you find it hard to care just now. The tip of the curved toy is at the entrance to her wet, hot pussy. You can see her clearly, and she can see your slit as well. She looks down at her own pussy, which deprives you of the opportunity to see more of her bouncing breasts, heaving chest and drooling sacs. Instead, you see your own. You don't know what is going on. You don't know when she will slide that big vibrating toy inside her pussy and thus into your own as well. You see the lips below part, but you know that is just because of how turned on you are. There is no sensation of fullness. They aren't spread that much yet. Cloudy juices escape your body, and your hips and thighs squirm from side to side. Not that that will be any escape. You're getting hornier and hornier as she forces you to look at your own wet, hot slit. You want to be full. Trying to move your hands, finding your arms are lazy, pinned down, robbed of their strength. It is as if they are simply too heavy for you to lift them, try as you might with your thoughts and urges. But none of that matters. She is sliding it in. You see your lips spread wider as an invisible intruder is pushed inside. You hear the fox moan, low, guttural, powerful. She is fucking her pussy with that toy. It is already vibrating. The same vibrations invading your slit, the passage inside, hitting your clit now and then, buzzing, invading. You aren't holding it, so the feeling is much more powerful. It comes from a force outside your control, just like how masturbation isn't quite as shocking or intense as when the toy is being held by someone else. You have no restraint or resistance to this invasive pleasure. She curves the toy to hit the front wall of her pussy. Your pussy. Your shared dripping pussy. The frontal wall has one spot which makes your eyes cross and drool run out of your mouth in one long stream. Your G-spot is assailed and compressed by a toy made for exactly that purpose. Primal scream as you stare at your pussy. You would like to throw your head back and moan to the ceiling. Let out a cry. Orgasm is approaching, hard and fast. Your toes have curled, so she must be doing the same. Your tongue is hanging out, something you saw her do before. Your arms are slack by your sides. She must not be letting them move for fear you'd interfere. The toy pistons in and out, and you see your pussy lips bowing inward and outward as the toy drags their slick folds along its sides. So wonderful, so hot, so uncontrollable. You are at her mercy when she bounces the toy on your G-spot and begins moving it with desperate motions. She must be close too, so close. It slickly invades, moving, making your juices fly out of you because your pussy isn't blocked up with anything unlike hers. Your juices flow out the hole where a toy would be if you had a real toy. But all the sensations are very real. In and out, faster than you can imagine, desperately hammering your clit, she pulls the toy out. Leaving your insides empty, your clit untouched, you were so close. No, no. You feel the orgasm she built up in you getting ready to vanish from your body. You were so close. It is torturous to be deprived at this point, yet you are helpless and can only watch your hot, dripping pussy become cooler and cooler with untouched need. Except you watch as your clit is compressed down. It is like something hard and heavy is rolling across the sensitive nub. Then you realize it is the toy, but turned off. Did it run out of battery? You pant. You hear her pant. You make a whimpering noise, realizing in shock that it is an echo of hers, a noise she made on her own. Then the fox turns the vibe on. Your clit is compressed, trapped under a powerful vibrator. Your recently occupied, now empty pussy spurts juices from within with the squeezing of your muscles. Your clit is sandwiched between the toy and its own hut. You are allowed to roll your head back, moan, scream. Your whole body is released now, which is good. You come. The force of climactic release from sudden absolute vibration you can neither escape nor resist is enough to make you flail and fall against the pillow under you on the floor. She isn't trying to escape the vibe, and so it is impossible for you to do either. You cannot squirm away, because the shivery mechanical pleasure is coming from inside your pussy, not from outside. You are bound to her, connected to her, and she is buzzing her own mind away. The long, squealing scream tells you she has begun to come. You feel it, the heavy, hot sweetness from between your legs becoming a pleasure echo that gets louder the longer it lasts, and this one lasts a long time. You count, feeling your whole body on fire with vibrations that go past the point of comfort and into oversensitized, forced orgasm you find nonetheless so alluring and inescapable. One long, shivering, gasping, screaming, orgasmic perfection. Both of you laying on the floor, twitching and squirming. You catch occasional sight of her. Two flares of heat, satisfaction, scratching an itch. This is what you wanted. Three, your curiosity satisfied. You see her come. She sees you come. You both come and climax and lose all thought except good buzzing in your clit. Four, more, more. You want more, want more. That is why you are so thrilled when flailing as consciousness leaves you. You hear time for the next experiment. Five, she lets out one final powerful shiver shake and slumps to the floor, adding, as soon as I can feel my legs.